Hello, everyone, and welcome to Turning Towards Life. We're here live on Sunday, the 19th of June, a little bit later than normal because of general technical kerfuffles in our lives. And we're very pleased to be here with you. This week, we have the source that Justin has chosen called How the Light Comes, which you might have seen us post earlier. And we're going to do as we always do, which is to begin and see where this takes us. I want to say welcome to you all, wherever you are, whenever you're listening. You might be listening through Facebook, you might be listening through a podcast, and just so that you know, all of the text and the sources that we post, you can find them either on our website, turningtowards.life, and also in the show notes of any of the podcasts as well. So if you want to follow along and you want to prepare for being here by having the text with you, you can find the text. And we'll normally post it as we go live at the same time if you're listening through Facebook too. So Justin, thank you as always for choosing sources that, I mean, sometimes you've chosen sources that are ones that are familiar to me, but mostly you choose ones that are totally left field from my bookshelf. So I'm so glad of that. It's so lovely to feel and experience and receive a new something like this by Jan Richardson. Really extraordinary.
You're so welcome. Well, I need to say thank you to Sunny, who sent this to me. That's how I know about it. So Sunny, thank you for getting this piece of writing in our orbit. I'm very, very pleased to bring it and very pleased to be here for another week in this practice. And let's just get into the practice. So I'm just going to call it up so I can read it. So it's called How the Light Comes. And I'm going to say this for you, Lizzie, and for me and for all of us. There's something maybe that comes from this with taking a moment just before I read it. You might be in the middle of who knows what, just to take a moment to have the source itself land, reach you. And it goes like this. I cannot tell you how the light comes. What I know is that it is more ancient than imagining, that it travels across an astounding expanse to reach us, that it loves searching out what is hidden, what is lost, what is forgotten or in peril or in pain, that it has a fondness for the body, for finding its way toward flesh, for tracing the edges of form, for shining forth through the eye, the hand, the heart. I cannot tell you how the light comes, but that it does, that it will, that it works its way into the deepest dark that enfolds you, though it may seem long ages in coming, or arrive in a shape you did not foresee. And so may we this day turn ourselves toward it. May we lift our faces to let it find us. May we bend our bodies to follow the arc it makes. May we open and open more and open still to the blessed light that comes.
I cannot tell you how the light comes. What I know is that it is more ancient than imagining, that it travels across an astounding expanse to reach us, that it loves searching out what is hidden, what is lost, what is forgotten or in peril or in pain, that it has a fondness for the body, for finding its way toward flesh, for tracing the edges of form, for shining forth through the eye, the hand, the heart. I cannot tell you how the light comes, but that it does, that it will, that it works its way into the deepest dark that enfolds you, though it may seem long ages in coming or arrive in shape that you did not foresee. And so may we this day turn ourselves toward it. May we lift our faces to let it find us. May we bend our bodies to follow the arc it makes. May we open and open more and open still to the blessed light that comes.
Thank you, Lizzie. Gosh, for me, what a blessing hearing you read that. because it felt so true in your coming through you, shining forth through your body, through your heart and your hands and your mouth, your voice. And I think that's why I really wanted to bring this. Actually, when I received this and read it, it simply felt true to me, but also something which I forget. And it's that combination of the straightforward truthfulness and then the forgetting and remembering of it. And more and more as my life has gone on, and I think more and more that I spend time with people, I know this more and more to be true. And it's such a counter to a pervasive narrative or understanding that many of us have grown up in the wider culture that we get to participate in, which is a sort of taken for granted story that the universe is cold and hard and meaningless, and that any meaning we find is something that we're just inventing or making up, that love is kind of made up and meaning is kind of made up and art is made up and care is made up. And really, when you get, if you sort of want to get to the real truth of something, you'd find that that's all, I don't know, evolutionary accident or something. And it really doesn't seem that way to me. And it mostly doesn't seem that way to me. So now when I get to sit here and look at you, Lizzie, and feel what it's like to be together with another human, that the light has a fondness for the body, for shining forth through the eye, the hand, and the heart, seems self-evident to me. There is something much, much more significant going on with us, between us, and in life as a whole, than cold, dead, empty matter.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm speaking about that from an experiential point of view, not a sort of intellectual point of view or an abstract philosophical point of view. I feel it all the time. But also, I think why this feels important to me is this is a reminder to me to look for it. Because we don't always see it. And what it is, there's this other line in here from Jan Richardson that I so appreciate. It may seem long ages in coming, or arrive in a shape you did not foresee. And I realize that I've been practicing for a while, seeing what happens if I treat everyone as an expression of the light, arriving in a shape that I might not have foreseen. Even if I really disagree with someone. And of course I disagree lots, because we all do. We have different perspectives and different points of view and different values and different commitments. But so much seems to be made possible by looking this way. And it undoes so much of my I have to defend myself, or I have to get something, or I have to make something happen. So I wonder if one of the reasons that Jan Richardson's words are so powerful and to me so moving is because they're a reminder of something that we're here for.
Mm-hmm.
Just to be in receipt, as well as to be the ones letting ourselves be ones through whom this can come through as well.
Mm.
But it's to be in receipt from one another.
I love how kind of human and relational you're making this. That you might be a shape through which the light comes to me. And that's what everyone could be. So beautiful. The line that really moves me, Justin, is, I cannot tell you how the light comes, but that it does, that it will. There's something profoundly sure and assured about those lines, and it feels like the truth to me, like you said, experientially. And somehow, because that feels truthful, I can feel the kind of faith I have to go to the places that scare me, because that's true. So I'm just thinking of this week, Justin, something arose in one of my internal, we've been speaking about internal family systems quite a bit together, and something came to us in the work, my inner work this week, that hasn't felt safe enough to come forth yet. It doesn't have much language, and is quite afraid to even be here. There's a part of me that's afraid to be here. And as you read this, I felt the assuredness of the light will come, that I feel confident to face really scary things because this is true. And so I feel really, I don't know, I feel really met by this. I feel really held by it, like it's something to be remembered in the places that feel really hard. The light will come. Can't say how, but that it will. Like there's something so confident about that, something so trustworthy. And so, I don't know, it feels like a kind of a call, like this last paragraph as well, a call to this recognition, a call to orienting that way anyway, even if it's not dark, like, in and if it is too, and that it's also not personal. So it's more ancient than imagining. It's more ancient than my way of perceiving. It's an isness. It is the trueness of life, that light is here. And not only like physical light, but light on the inside or something. And so I may open to this light, the light of being, or I don't know what I would call it, the light of self, the light of essence, the light of Lizziness and Justinness, the light of life. I feel like it gives me more faith in general to be in the difficult, dark darkness that enfolds us sometimes, lots of the time, when it comes. And so this seems to me to be a story of faith. And also that it's not only faith, that it's like a declaration, like a declarative kind of faith, like the light will come. We don't know how, we don't know what shape, but it will. And it feels so excellent to have that in our narrative, our story about what it means to be human and what we can and can't do and what we can and can't face.
I was very moved when you just said that. You said twice, the light will come. And it seems really, you were talking about what it is to find contact with enough of it that you can face the dark and you can face what's frightening inside you. And we all have that which is frightening inside us. And what's frightening between us and what's frightening about the world. I mean, gosh, right now, maybe the world isn't more frightening than it's been in other periods in history. It's getting into comparison is unhelpful, but there are lots of things to be frightened about. Threats to our safety, threats to the safety of others, threats to the safety of the ones who might come after us. There's lots for us to be frightened about. And so when we say, as you said, the kind of faith that the light will come, it doesn't seem to me that that's, at least the way I experience it, is it can't be the faith that everything's going to turn out all right. Well, certainly not the faith that everything's going to turn out the way I would like it to turn out. Because anyway, what all right is means lots of different things. But what it happens if we know that the light that is more ancient than we can imagine So it precedes us and it flows through us. If we were to take Jan Richardson's words just straight at face value, this light has a fondness for the body, for finding its way towards flesh, for tracing the edges of form, for shining forth through the eye, the hand, and the heart. I cannot tell you how the light comes, but that it does, that it will. Now that is not dependent upon how the world works out, and this is not dependent upon whether my life goes the way I want it to go. And in a way, what it seems to me it also points to is something that I've been thinking about and feeling a lot recently, which is, again, I think one of the traps of our wider culture, that meant the culture, you know, whenever I say our wider culture, of course, I have to acknowledge that not everyone grows and is in the same experiences, the same culture that I live in, but seems to me the wider world has really strongly taken up the story that our life is about us. My life is about me. And that the mark of a good life is that I get to self-improve, or I get what I want in exact, and that's how I'll know that the light has come, because I get to be the, you know, and there are all these sort of phrases that really stick with me. I'll get to be the best version of myself, which is a common sort of trope. Then the light will come, or I'll get the thing that I wanted. I'll find peace, or I'll find this or that possession, or this or that status. When we look at it this way, you could start to say maybe the kind of faithfulness that we might have is that if we open and open more still to the light that comes, the light might find its way through us. And when we find it in us, we can start to trust ourselves and our contribution and our care and the kind of dignity and grace and kindness and truthfulness that we can bring to others, so it can come through us that way. We can also really trust that we can find it in others often. And that might mean, so this poem is not really in the form of a far-off promise. One day, although it looks that way, one day the light will come. And there is something in that, but there's also the, what happens if we look for it? What happens when we're in despair, when we look for it in the people around us? What happens when we look for it in the stranger on the other side of the road, or we got talking about this a couple of weeks ago, or the person scanning items in the supermarket counter, or the teacher who's teaching us, or the, you know, whatever, we could look for it everywhere. And I think that it wouldn't be so hard to start to find even tiny glimpses of it, maybe even hidden in the deepest dark, in the places that we're most afraid. So I really want to, I'm trying to be really precise with my language, because it would be so easy to misread this as a sort of ignore your troubles, don't treat them with seriousness, don't feel afraid, just cover it up, like a sort of naive optimism. And I don't think this is at all about how things turn out. I think it's about what's unfolding in between us all the time, if we'll attend to it. And if we did attend to it, it would also change how we relate to one another, which would also serve the purpose of having more of it come through.
The biggest thing that came up for me, Justin, when you were talking just then, was like, well, what if I am the light as well? So what if it's the lady in the supermarket? What if it's between us? But what if I am it too, as well as you are? And I can feel like, just sitting here, I could consider myself to be the light. I could have a go at that. And it's really different to how I normally refer to myself inside myself. I got lots of stories about myself. And of course, being the light, feels like an invitation. I don't know what that is. Like, I really don't. But in receiving this and listening to what you're saying, I can see that that would be a question to take into my quiet time. Like, I am the light, to have that accompany me when I encounter myself and be right here. And I think it's kind of speaking to this thing of, even if I confine my darkness, my twistedness, my manipulative side, my fearful side, the side that has not good intentions, you know, the difficult shadowy stuff, how much easier it would be to face those parts if I knew I was the light. Like, in my experience in the moment, it seems like the light would be really helpful in those places, that it would have an interaction with those places, it would have power in those places, it would help me move into them and through them and be supported whilst facing them, instead of carrying on denying them or pretending that they weren't there. So I'm feeling really wondering about me. If I am the light, how does that then orient me to the things that are really difficult in myself, in my relationships, in my wider life? How does it change things if I'm the light? Feels like the question that this is bringing me today.
I'm really appreciating the way you're pointing us into, we started off in a sort of relational territory, a between people relational territory, and now what we're in is we're in the in-between relational territory that's also inside each of us. And I could really feel there's a seems to me a very important possibility that you're naming, which is to acknowledge that we all have within us those parts of us that can act in ways that are manipulative of ourselves and of other people, that don't always have good intentions toward everyone. That there are shadow parts of us like that. And we've got choices. Once we start to see that, we've got choices. So one kind of choice that gets us into all kinds of difficulties is identifying with those parts. I am manipulative. I am selfish. I am whatever. Which doesn't leave much room for there to be anything else of me, if I'm that. The other way I could get into, which you also talked about, Lizzie, was I could get into denial about it. I could go, I don't have those. Try to split them off from me, which doesn't make them go away. And boy, you know, some of the times I've been most manipulative of other people have been when I haven't been willing to look at the parts of me that are manipulative in order to try to stay safe or get what I want or whatever. And I go, no, of course, couldn't be me. And again, in order to do that, I have to have a sense of myself as in some way unable to hold. So either I'm identified with it because there's nothing in me that is anything other than that, or I've got no capacity to hold the shadowy parts of me, so I'll just try and deny them. But what if we make the move that you said, which is to know ourselves as the light, and the self that I am being, what if I take myself to be the one who is in receipt of this ancient something that travels across the standing space? And then I can go, so I'm the one who loves searching out what's hidden, what's forgotten or in peril or in pain. I'm the one who can let this shine forth. I can let it work into the deepest dark. Then we can turn towards the parts of ourselves that we would ordinarily run from, or that we would let ourselves be dominated by, and go, I'm here. I too, like everyone, is one of the ones who I can lift my face and let it bend my body and follow the arc it makes, and finding myself the capacity to hold and welcome even the dark parts of me so that they can get bathed in, supported by, met by light. And then I don't have to either split them off from myself, and I also don't have to be flooded by them. I think that's so, it seems so important to me, and so kind and truthful as a way of working with ourselves. And it must then also come with a knowledge that that's true of everyone. So I have to know this about myself, but then not make it into, well, I'm the light. You know, at that point, of course, we're in trouble again. But if I know that the essence of me is this, and that the essence of you is this, that when we run into all of the kinds of interpersonal trickiness and confusions and difficulties as the different parts of us come forward, we can start to develop the sort of faithfulness to hold all of that in light rather than in something else. Like you said, it's easy not to know ourselves that way. I think that really changes how we can be with one another, as well as how we can be with ourselves. We can be less, particularly if we know that the light is ancient. In other words, it's not personal. I didn't make it. I got given it. I am it, but I got given it. The thing I'm noticing is nothing in my education, until I started to do the work that you and I do now, Lizzie, of which this is an expression, nothing ever taught me that. Not really. And I wish we did talk this way about what it is to be a human more, and call on the light that we each are to shine forth in the way that you're inviting.
Yeah, and maybe it's quite hard for us to consider ourselves as the light, given the lack of education that's ever given us permission that we are that. And it seems to me that the more I can encounter myself as the light, the way more likelihood there is that I could encounter you as it. Like it would, there's a sincerity about that. There's an integrity to that. You know, it's not, I'm not just counting myself out and seeing everybody out there as, well, that can't be me, but you all. You know, there's a kind of, I don't know, like some kind of inequality to that in me. And to include ourselves in this wondering feels really important, to be able to perceive anyone else's innocence, anybody else's good intention, feels like it has to include, maybe it doesn't have to start here, but it has to include here, this one. Because the minute I can see, I was reading something this week about everything having an inverse to it, everything having an opposite. So the moment I can see that inside my manipulation is fear or some kind of vulnerability, then I can't stop at the manipulation part without questioning it, without feeling the innocence of it at the same time as understanding that there's some distortion in it. But knowing that there's always light where there's darkness, there's always goodness where there's badness, if you like, knowing there's always the inverse right there, really helps to kind of right size everything. Like you said, like if I see myself as manipulative, there's not much room for any other story. But if I can understand the good intention in my manipulation, I was afraid, I didn't know what to do, I felt alone, I felt vulnerable, and I just had to grab what I could to feel secure. That's a very important aspect of manipulation. Being manipulative isn't a lonely thing. It's not an alone thing. There's way more happening. So I think to encounter ourselves as light is to be more disclosive, more honest about these aspects of ourselves, and then more forgiving of others who might have those aspects of themselves on show inside the relationships we're in. And allows us to say, there's light next to here. The light will come. Okay, so let's just take it as a given that there's light. And I'm experiencing this really difficult thing. Can I perceive that there is also light? And I guess I'm also wanting to feel like, I feel like an advocate for this being a practice rather than a thing to solve any problems with. You know, it might not work. It might still just be horrendous. Like, you know, who knows? But what if we didn't have it as like, oh, I'm going to take this and try and solve problems with it? What if we just had this as an ongoing intention, an ongoing sincerity of intention to see that there was light, to see how it shifts our world, instead of using it for, oh, well, there's this horrible thing going on, I'm going to bring the light to it or something. It feels more powerful to have it as an ongoing everyday, even when things are just fine and even when things are horrible. What if we could just have this as part of our everyday wondering about life itself, that there is also light, there's always light, it will come, it does come, there's always light, just letting that be there at the same time as whatever, like you said, whatever the circumstances are, that can also be here. And how does that imbue everything?
So as we come to a close for today, I just learned something from you, which I'm really appreciative about. Let's see if I can say it this way. I think I'm saying back what you just said, but in a language that suddenly become apparent to me, which is, this is all about context, in the sense that we might take the context to be meaningless, cold, nothing is the context for everything. But what happens if we take the ancient light that travels across an astounding expanse to reach us as the context? And then when I meet what's manipulative or twisted or painful or fearful or controlling in myself, I can say, like, just like you said, that right next to it or all around it is a light that loves searching out what's hidden, what's lost, what's in forgotten or in peril or in pain. And when you and I are in difficulty with one another, I can take as the context the light that loves searching out what is hidden, lost, forgotten or in peril or in pain. It's a contextual shift. It's the one that says, you said it's always alongside, it's always right next to, or you could say it's always around. That's the kind of faithfulness we can have, that it comes, not that it's right here in this expression. I just said something really mean to you. The light's not necessarily right in the middle of it, but it's all around it. Can we bring the two together? Can we trust? And that's the kind of practice that we might get into, like you said, when things are difficult or when they're going flowingly and wonderfully. Mm-hmm. What a lovely practice to have. And thank you for teaching me that, Lizzie. I really appreciate it. And thank you, everyone, for being with us for another week of this conversation. We'll be back again next week. And I've taken to saying at the end of every one of these, please tell people about this conversation if you feel like it would be a gift to someone. We know that many, many people are sharing this with friends and loved ones and colleagues and clients, coaches that we work with are sharing it with their clients. And we'd really welcome that. And we'll see you next week.
Bye, everyone.
Bye-bye.